Welcome to this bonus episode of the podcast, and it's an episode for men. On our fertility journey, I really felt quite emasculated when I got my fertility diagnosis. I felt less of a man. And even before that, when the focus for many years was on my wife and her fertility, I really struggled to know how to support her, how to help her on this emotional rollercoaster when often she felt anxious or depressed. And my attempts to try and help seemed to make it worse. I guess I felt a bit of a failure as a husband and as a man. And this can really get men down. And I wanted to create an episode to really help men feel more in control and tap into what it is to mean to be a man and regain some control and some power in their life, to know they are fully a man despite the circumstances. I brought in a guest, this very special guest, Louis Calvert. Louis was a boxer and then a bodybuilder, and that kind of lifestyle and discipline had a profound effect on him. Not just his discipline, his mindset, but the way he operated in his life as a whole. He could see the benefits of that. He wanted to give that same gift to others, so he became a personal trainer. But deep down, he knew it was more than the physical training. He's passionate about helping his clients develop a disciplined, resilient and growth mindset, as well as a robust, capable body. And he can see both of them together allow them to live a life of passion, purpose and possibility. Louis is a living example of this. Moving his work online enables him to live anywhere in the world. He's currently in Dubai and he serves his clients all over the world. He developed what he calls the Power Project. It's a program that helps men become their most powerful self, focusing core three pillars of man, mind, and mission. So join me in this conversation with Louis to help see what he can bring to your journey, to help see where you can start to feel more in control of life and more of the man you really are, despite our circumstances. So Lou, it's great to have you here on the podcast. Thank you for spending time with us and sharing your experience and expertise. You have expertise in areas I just don't have around kind of health, fitness, training, well-being. But also we have an overlap the way we see a lot of masculinity and male leadership and self-leadership. So I'm really interested in this conversation and see where it goes. But let me just dive in and ask the question. What would you say to men who feel emasculated, either by their, say, fertility diagnosis, or maybe the fact their partner can't have children? And I know in my experience, I've been in those situations, I did feel emasculated. I felt less of a man. What would you say to men in those situations?
Well, first of all, it's going to be hard anyway, isn't it? Whatever I say here is still not going to be easy. The first thing I would say is I think just being able to identify what can we control and what can't we, knowing if that's a controllable factor or not, knowing the controllable factors around that, can it be helped with health things and other things? And if not, realizing that that is how it's going to need to be, and having a look at other areas where maybe you've let up control, and taking back ownership there, taking back control there. I think, and this is something that I learned a lot from working with you, it's how we're going to be thinking about that situation that's going to hugely determine how it's going to be making us feel. And if we know that it's not something that's going to change and there's not anything that we can change, the more we kind of fight against that or give that power over us and how we're feeling, the stronger that's going to get.
I love that. Just as you were saying that, yeah, I can see how in my journey that I felt like a victim of life in so many ways, where we couldn't have children we wanted. I was thinking even earlier, I was writing my email and we went to go and get a dog. We couldn't get him a dog either for various reasons. We fucking can't even have a dog. It's like life seems unfair. And it felt like, yeah, life is out of control. All things I wanted to do couldn't happen. But actually, I wasn't looking at where I did have control. And I can really see that now. And you mentioned even how we respond to things. Just the other day, my wife responded to me in a quite harsh way, and I just kind of blamed her, got frustrated with her, and didn't recognize my response to that. I could control my response back. I could choose to be more loving back. And yeah. I guess, yeah, looking back at my fertility experience, there were things I could have controlled. I just didn't see. My career, for example, I wasn't happy at work. I could have made changes, conscious changes, and made those decisions. What do I want in these situations? And taking more of a control, to take more of a lead in that situation. And I did eventually in the end do that. But I can really see how I wasn't taking control of areas of my life I could have taken control of. I felt like a victim in life and just almost gave up, I guess, in different areas of life.
It's something I see a lot, especially when guys come to me, and at that point, once they've come to me, they're ready to make a change. Mm. But when we're chatting on our initial call and we look back, a thing that we'll see time and time again is, I actually think it's a bit of a coping mechanism for life in general, that people will start to blame everything else around them for everything, even things that are in their control. Mm. They'll start to blame him, they'll blame her, they'll blame the boss, they'll blame work, because it makes people, in things that they can control, it can make men feel better about the situation that they're in, because it's not their fault anymore. They've just relieved themselves of the responsibility of actually taking ownership. And at the time, it feels good. It's like, oh, phew, that's not my fault. Yeah. But then, as we've done that for years and years, it gets to a point where we're looking around our reality that we've created, and nothing's in our control anymore, and we're a victim to everything.
Yeah,
but at one point, that was actually helping us, because it made us feel a bit better about where we were at.
Yeah,
so we need to look at, where have we let up control where we didn't actually need to, and start to take ownership of where we can take control, where we can get a lot of enjoyment and fulfillment out of life, where we may have let up control before, and potentially it was because we wanted to kind of not take responsibility of that ourselves.
Yeah. No, I love that. And even, I know you do a lot of work around physical health and well-being and exercise and how we look after our bodies. And I can see how it's easy for me to blame life for not getting out of my runs. You know, well, I'm too busy. And actually, it's not completely true. I could choose to get up a little earlier on those days. There's always a way I can make it happen. Or I could do a shorter exercise, do a HIIT, you know, session rather than going for a long run. It's like, it's easy for me to think I'm all or nothing. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do anything. Well, just anything more than nothing is good. And keeping that element of control and empowerment. On that, you know, I know a lot of men on this journey and this experience feel pressurized by their partners to make lifestyle changes. Because there's things we can do to improve our fertility. There's nutritional things, lifestyle changes, maybe, you know, drinking less or smoking, and other things around our lifestyle and nutrition. And for me, even stopping cycling was one. You know, what would you say to those men who are struggling to make those changes? Maybe because they feel pressurized by their partner. They deep down know maybe they want to do it or they think it's helpful, but for some reason they're just not doing it. What would you say to those men who don't feel that they can make, they're not making those changes when they actually, it is actually in their control?
So this is something that is meant to help them. They're being told to do it by their wives or partners, and they're just not following through with following it, right?
Yeah.
I would, if it's gone on long enough and they haven't, and this is something that I'll talk to clients about, and it's a very similar thing. It's someone not adhering to the protocol, and I'd just get them to stop for one moment, and we chat, and I'd say, why aren't you doing this? And often it's because it's not something that they want to do. And it's a very, very easy thing, especially when your partner is kind of saying it again and again. We're going to start to build up this kind of knee-jerk reaction of, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Because it shuts them up, basically. It quiets it in the moment.
Yeah.
But you probably already know that you're not actually going to do it. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
So I would, take a deep breath and think, why do you not think you're doing it? Is there a reason? Is it actually something that you want to do?
Yeah, and it's so true. It's like, and I think any personal development journey or change, including physical, starts with brutal honesty. You've got to be brutally honest with yourself. And I think in a relationship as well, it's got to be brutal honesty. And I think the feminine really values that brutal honesty from the masculine, say, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. And okay, and work through that. And I think, and I can look back and my own life is almost, we want to quiet our life almost. I'll be happy if my wife's happy. You know, if she's not complaining, then life is easier. Mm-hmm. But actually, as you say, it's a short-term kind of silence or quietness, but actually it leads to long-term disgruntlement and disorder. And it's like, if you can be brutal and say, do you know what? Hey, babe, I know you want me to do that, but I'm just not going to do that. It's not me. I'm not going to do that. And then working with them, what can you create from that situation? What can you create as an agreement? It reminds of expectations and agreements. You know, people hate having expectations put on them. Expectations are non-verbal agreements. Well, I'm in agreement where they're going to do something. If you agree to do something you're not doing, that's a different thing. You know, men need to be men of their men, women of their words. That's why don't agree to something you're not going to actually follow through on. But you actually, why is that brutal honesty? Do you want to do it? It's like, why are you doing this? You know, if you're doing it to please someone, it's not sustainable. If you're doing it because in your heart of hearts, you want to be doing it, it's a different thing, isn't it?
And I can see that causing a lot of strain on the relationship as well. If years are actually being wasted where you keep telling your partner that you will be doing this, you will be doing this, and you're not coming to a compromise. You're not actually finding a way around it. You're just kind of putting off the inevitable not doing it. Yeah. I can see that causing a lot of strain. Yeah. What would you say is the reason that they wouldn't actually be doing it if they did want, if they did know that this was actually going to help and they did want the end goal of being fertile, what that does confuse me. What would that actually be? Why would they not be doing it if that is what they want?
Yeah, if it's something you deep down you know you want, but you're not taking the actions towards it, for me, in my experience, it tends to be kind of limiting belief, the fear of failure or fear of not being good enough, almost a fear of failure, almost things, well, I won't even start. If I don't start, I haven't failed because I haven't really done it. But actually, that does reinforce I'm a failure because you know you're not even starting. So often there's an underlying story about ourselves or life that is holding us back from being our true self. Our soul knows what we want. Our soul's desire knows we want to be healthier, fitter, make these changes. But sometimes it's this learned behavior that, you know, you're not good enough or you're going to fail that holds us back from taking those steps.
Yeah. I've seen that example. I've seen that a lot with my work because when a guy comes to me, they've usually had something that they're saying that they're going to do, which is most of the time to do with the body and changes and making this lifestyle change for good. And they haven't done it for 5 years. That's the average for me, 5 years at least.
Wow.
And I work with kind of 25 to 30 year olds. So it's going to be more when they're older as well. So after 5 years of this not happening, usually it's in their beliefs, it's in their identity that it's actually not going to work.
Yeah.
Which is why it's very hard for someone to actually commit to signing up to something like what I offer, because it's going to be more expensive than a gym membership. And they already often come on the initial call thinking this is already going to fail anyway. It's just kind of pleasing that kind of that quick need to make a movement towards the end goal. So it's a lot of this, I think, is often going against your own kind of identity at this point that already expects you to fail. And one of the things that I see holds a lot of guys back because of this kind of this identity, this belief that they haven't done this for 5 years, why is it going to change now? Deep down they think that. They start to make decisions not based on what's going to give them the highest chance of success, but based on what's going to make failure less painful,
because
they expect failure. And where I see this the most is not signing up to the experts and the things that are actually going to give them the best chance of winning, because it's expensive and it hurts more. I see guys signing up to cheaper gyms even though logistically it's harder to turn up to, because they already expect they're not going to turn up anyway, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I would question where are those beliefs. What might be holding you back, that's been holding you back this entire time? And where might you be taking the option that's just making failure a nicer, just making not follow through less painful and less of a risk, as opposed to giving yourself the highest chance of success.
And I think, right, it's that kind of avoiding the pain is almost, you need to be leaning to your edge, be vulnerable, be exposed to the possibility of failure to really succeed. Like coming out of comfort zone, isn't it? You come out of your comfort zone, that's where the magic happens. Yeah. And what comes to mind is the word leadership, is self-leadership. You know, leadership, you need to be, if you're being a leader, it doesn't mean leading, you could be leading a team, but there's self-leadership. But one aspect of being a leader is being seen, not scared to being seen, not being, you know, scared to be exposed and declaring what you think the vision is, where you need to go, what you need to do. And that's one aspect of being a leader, is you need to be visible, and that can be vulnerable.
Mm.
And it's almost, I can't know where I was going with this now, but there's elements of, I can see it with physical health. You did a lot around physical health as well as the kind of masculinity and pattern, kind of purpose, and which we'll kind of come on to. But I can really see how, I worked with a business coach once who said that if you've got a business goal, have a fitness goal as well, which is really interesting. He's not kind of super hyper fit, and you know, he looks after himself in a way, but I was really surprised to hear that from him, because we never spoke about fitness before. But he sees, actually, in his experience, they go kind of hand in hand. I can really look back in my own life and realize, actually, yeah, there's times that I feel stronger and fitter. I just feel more empowered as a man. It's very subtle, but when I can lift that thing and I feel with ease, it's just, yeah, taking the shopping from the car, carrying these four bags at a time, thinking, I can do this. I feel empowered. And it's really bizarre, actually, to be more aware of that. Maybe as I'm getting older, I don't know, but actually how important it is to look after my physical health and how that enables me to be more, feel more powerful as a man in my life and take more responsibility and step into that stronger masculine entity that I want to be.
That's pretty much what the entire Power Project is built around. It's being able to align the three things we work on, is man, mind, and mission. Man being the physical body, mind being the mind, mission being the big purpose, the big mission, the big thing that excites you. A lot of guys, that is career at the moment.
Mm.
And it's all about not seeing these two things as separate, because that's when, especially for very career or mission-driven men, that's where it's very hard to carve that time out to train, to carve that time out to eat well, because it seems like it's actually taken away from your mission. And whatever the mission is, by definition, whoever's listening, that is one of your highest values.
Mm.
That's what the mission is. It's not necessarily career.
Mm.
But when we can start to see that actually all three of these things align, and when you are starting to upgrade yourself as a man physically, that's actually going to enhance everything else, or at least if we can build it around a way that does enhance everything else, that's when all of this stuff finally sticks. And all three of these things, man, mind, and mission, completely elevate. And one of the things I think is most powerful about this, especially if the physical side of things has been something that's lacking, is everything we're doing physically, when it, unlike business or often any of the mission things, anything we're doing physically is completely in our control. We might have four sessions to do. We might have this amount of nutrition, this meal plan to stick to, whatever it may be.
Mm.
That's all, unless it's COVID, where you can still train anyway, but you just can't go to the gym. That's all in our control. So you can go for an entire week and time up, ticking every single box and knowing that you can show up for yourself, and you start to build that trust in yourself. Whereas with business goals and things of that nature, it's we can tick all the boxes, but sometimes we just don't make the sales we need, or we don't make the changes in our business that we need because there's other external factors going on.
Yeah.
So I think it can really empower someone.
Yeah, I completely agree. What comes to mind as you're sharing is that we've got a friend's got a son. He's kind of in his early 20s, and he's had some bad luck, and he's a really nice guy, some bad luck, and it's just got a good job. Well, it was a kind of basic job. He's working his way through the organization very quickly. Then the company went bust very suddenly. And he's back, you know, looking for a job, and he's struggling. He's knocking his confidence. But he's just got back, going to go in the gym with some friends. They go every day. And he's that thing. That's one thing in his life he can control, because he can't control whether he gets a job or not. He can't control any applications he feels in, but he can't control whether he gets a job. There's so much in his life he feels he can't control, and life's been knocked him in various ways. But suddenly, I feel he's dived into health and fitness. I think, you can see that's one area he can control. I can really see actually how it's serving him in so many ways, more than just feeling stronger. There's that, so that empowerment, that leadership, and taking responsibility and taking control of an aspect of life when life doesn't feel in control. But actually, yeah. As you're talking, I realize actually that environment can often be full of what I call toxic masculinity, very competitive, and it'd be all about the competitiveness and just about the body. And what I love about your kind of work is actually it's mind and mission as well. It's not just the body. It gives it more, for me, a more rounded kind of more, it's not toxic masculinity, it's kind of more healthy masculinity, where you look at the feminine as well and just our relationship with our feminine within us and our femininity and our mission, our purpose. And I think that's far more healthy and more sustainable. So I think about in toxic masculinity, it's quite short-term focused. It's about being, you know, competitive in this moment, yeah. Which is not actually sustainable, not feeding our soul. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. And two things kind of popped out at me there while you was talking about that. One thing just at the start there with the body side, the fitness side being the one thing that he can control. That's another thing that I've found has been, and this will go back to the other conversation we've had. Another thing that I've found has been huge and a huge help for guys that are very, very mission-driven, or they've got one thing that they're thinking about, which could be about this conversation we're having here as well. One thing that they're thinking about, one goal that they're really working towards. When we have that one thing that we're working towards, I find we're very, very, very volatile, because everything depends on that. And I've had that before. I kind of lost my own way just before I created the Power Project when I was just online coaching, and it got busier and busier, and I stopped training myself because I just started to enjoy the business side more. This is where the Power Project came from, pretty much my experiences here. When that was the only thing that I actually valued and worried about, I was emotionally volatile because that was the only thing that was good or bad in my life, depending on where it was. And as we know of business and these kind of goals, one week it could be amazing. The next week it can be terrible. Yeah. And that's how my emotions were. What I found is, yeah, being able, especially something with the body, when, like we said, it's completely in our control. When we're able to have something else that we can enjoy, I find that we're much less volatile to the ebbs and flows of one of
these. Yeah, and I guess what you're saying, pointing towards, is actually, for me, I want to talk about this outside in, when we think our okayness is dependent on something external, like our physical body. We can control how much input we put in. We put the training in and stick to the program and put the work in. But as you say, sometimes the changes aren't linear. Sometimes we have a big change, sometimes we feel there's no change. And if we link our kind of self-worth or okayness to our, just our body, then I think that becomes, it's not sustainable. We're pointing towards something bigger. This is a piece of the jigsaw to something bigger in life, about, you know, who you are as a man and have a sense of purpose even beyond your body. And I completely agree. I think we have a sense of purpose even beyond having a baby and being a parent. Now, I want my son to grow up knowing that he can be inspired and passionate about life. And one way I can do that is be inspired and passionate about my own life. I'm seeing the purpose and mission of my own life, even beyond being a parent. I see too many parents that live their sense of purpose through their children. And that can put a lot of pressure on the children. In fact, a lot of my clients had that as kids. My mum was like that. And it can impact. So actually, when we talk about negative self-talk and beliefs, that's often where it can come from, unfortunately. I can see how it's kind of the kind of the man, the mind, and the mission. You're actually bringing this bigger picture into it, which I think does make it more sustainable and tunes into the more about who we really are as a man, what makes us tick as a man. One of the questions my men's coaches kind of explore together is, you know, what will enable you to die complete, which is a really interesting question. Way. You know, to die at peace, knowing, you know what, I can die complete. I feel I've lived what I was meant to live in this life. Yeah, and I want to think one of the things helping die complete is knowing my son's okay. But I think the way to help him know he's okay is helping to be himself and know he's okay for who he is. And they say, actually, growing up, it's not what you say to your children. It's not even how you behave. It's what you think about yourself, which is really quite scary and powerful in a way. We think, you know, it's not what you say to your children, it's not how you behave, it's how you think about yourself, what you believe about yourself. That's what they pick up on consciously. And that's what they internalize about themselves, which is, in one sense, super scary. But in another sense, I think it makes complete sense, which is why I think about what I love about your work is actually it's going beyond the physical. But I think the physical is really important as a way in to start feeling in control, feeling strong and feeling more empowered, but actually bringing that biggest piece of the sense of purpose and who are we.
I think I understand what you've just said there, which, like you said, can be scary, how what you think about yourself is the biggest influence. I think understanding that can be a huge source of motivation for anyone, though, especially like people that need to make these changes, that are struggling with it as well, or already parents, when they know that how they think about themselves is going to have such a huge influence. Yeah. That's going to be huge, huge motivation.
That's really true. Yeah. I never thought about that. Actually, as you say that, yeah, I can see it for my own life. Knowing that impact of my son, it motivates me to be the best person I can be, almost for him as well.
Yeah.
And when I work with couples on fertility, they know actually when we start in our first conversation, they realize it's not really about having a baby. It's about them, it's about Project You versus Project Baby. The more you focus on Project You, Project Baby takes more care of itself. This is about them being their best self, who they really want to be for life. And I say it's actually not creating a baby here, we're creating a family. As in, you're creating the container you want to bring your baby into. You're being the best form of self so you can be the best father or mother you want to be. And I can see the work I did, my own Project You work, through my own infertility journey. I truly believe I'm a better father than would have been otherwise. I'm not a perfect father by any means, but I think I've let go of the stories that I was carrying to a degree that's enabled me to be the better father. So yeah, I can see it. Maybe that's the motivator, is actually, if I want to be, have a family, yeah, I want to not just have a family, I want to not just have a baby, I want to be a great father. I want to create this container for my family to grow up in and live a happy, inspired life. And
yeah.
That starts with us.
And the guys who are listening who have the wives, the partners telling them they need to do something, they're not doing it. I think hopefully that sparked in you what that's just sparked in me. And not that I'm doing that, but the idea of maybe you needing to go through these challenges and you needing to get over this thing that you're having a really hard time doing. Maybe this is the test that you need to become the man you need to become to be the best father that you can be. And I think that could be an amazing way to look at this, because in a lot of my work, if you ask any guy what their biggest problem is, it's motivation, or at least they think that it's motivation. They can't stay consistent. They can't stick to it. And it's all about having these tiny little shifts in the way of their thinking that make all the difference. And that's a lot of the work we do with the physical training. It's not just now about losing 5 pounds of fat. It's about how do you want to show up in the rest of your life, is how you're going to show up here. And it could be the same thing here when if you're being asked to drink less, if you're being asked to do anything else, I'm not too sure exactly what would help. Seeing this as you becoming the father that you need to become already, being able to have this restraint on yourself, being able to choose, see the bigger picture over the smaller comfort now, and that being the power that actually drives you through, allows you to stick to this and down the line give you what you want.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, it's just something about earlier about having tweaks, and it is sometimes small tweaks, but we often can't do it ourselves. You know, I love my running, and I was running long distances. I was very proud of what I was achieving, but I was doing it all on my own for many years. And it wasn't until I got a coach and got a training program that made these tweaks that helped me just get out my own way of thinking, you know, my own habitual thinking. It transformed my running and transform my fitness, my health, and my enjoyment of it. It was quite mind-blowing. And I think, why the hell did I do that years ago? Because I thought I was doing well and plowing on, but actually, it's like I say, well, when I work with the coaches, any coach, whether it's a fitness coach, health coach, or mindset coach, we're looking at, someone said, no, we're living in a bottle, we can't read the label. We need someone outside of us to help us see the bigger picture and make those tweaks, because we're very living in it. It's very subjective. When someone looks at our life from the outside, it helps us see it more objectively. And they bring training and experience and expertise that we just don't have. Yeah. And yeah, so I just want to encourage any men out there to contemplate this and realizing actually, until we kind of talked about this kind of stuff, realize how much on my fertility journey, the physical fitness and looking after myself was such a key role in hanging on to a sense of who I am and that kind of core sense of masculinity and power and control. So yeah, if any guys want to connect with you and explore doing some kind of work with you and understanding more about the Power Project, how can they do that?
So the best place to find me is definitely my Instagram. So that is instagram.com/ or just the app, Louis Joe Calvert, which is LOUISJOECALVERT. Sorry. Hopefully it can be in the description somewhere.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
But yeah. Yeah, feel free, drop me a follow, drop me a DM, say hello. I'm always putting out what I like to think is quite helpful content, like the stuff I've just been talking about here on there. So could be of some use to you, so I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, so Louis, thank you so much for the conversation and, yeah, helping give a slight different perspective around this journey for men. I know it can be really tough for men. I've been there, and I think this aspect of looking at ourselves physically and moving into a sense of purpose is really can be a game changer. So thank you
so much for having me on, and it's I'm honored to be on. And also, yeah, it's been actually really eye-opening to me to see how much of the same principles that allow someone to thrive in their physical side of things or sticking to that is actually shines here as well. So yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Speak soon.
Bye.